This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's hour number two. We got Jason Cole coming up. We'll talk some NFL. Kansas City last night with a 2017 win over the Giants. Woo! Glad they got that done. Chiefs raised their record to 4-4. They didn't really answer any of the questions that we had about their resurgence. There's still some issues. We'll talk to Jason about that coming up later this hour, as well as the three pieces of big news yesterday. Jameis Winston out for the year. Derrick Henry probably out for the year, although there has been no official timetable by the team on his foot injury. Still got hope. And then, of course, there is the trade of Von Miller to the Los Angeles Rams for draft picks, which was what the Rams do. So we got all that coming up with Jason Cole. Of course, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour as well. Game 6 tonight of the World Series, the Astros, who forced it with a Game 5 victory against the Atlanta Braves on Sunday. It'll be Luis Garcia for the Astros and Max Fried for the Braves. Now, as I said last hour, I'm kind of rooting for a Game 7 because I like Game 7s. I like Game 7s in the NBA, NHL, and I like them in Major League Baseball. I like the urgency of it. I like the everything is throw everything out there, especially in the strategic element of baseball. When you've got a game where everything's on the line, no tomorrow, that's it. Everyone's pitching, everyone's available, and you see sort of the maneuvers that each manager has to deal with. I just love that aspect of baseball. It is one of the sports that, unfortunately, the beauty of the strategy of baseball is often muddled by its sort of frequency of play, right? The 162 games sort of takes down a lot of what you can see in a Major League Baseball game on how managers use the order, how managers use their bullpen, how they shift, how they bring in defensive replacements. But in a Game 7, and it'll be like that tonight, too. I mean, you know, the Astros have nothing to lose by making the wrong decision. They're behind in the series. But the Braves, you know, they're trying to figure out what they can leave on the table for a Game 7. But you'll still see a few elements of that tonight. But there's nothing more amazing than watching a Game 7 where you just get the feeling like every pitch, your heart rate's going to go up a few notches. So I'm kind of pulling for that. Coming up, something you should pull for, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb, because it's coming up next. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good. The bad and the dumb time on your Tuesday. All right, let's get right to it. What's the good of the day?
There can only be one good of the day, and it was something that happened yesterday. It felt like it came out of nowhere.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, I'm just checking my emails, and you know, I subscribe to a certain nerdy thing, and it said, check this new trailer out.
Uh-oh.
So I did. And the trailer is for The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, when is that coming out?
That's coming out, debuting on your Disney Plus app December 29th.
Oh.
And I got to tell you, when it's watching the new trailer, it looks... They're taking the same page as out of The Mandalorian.
All right, very good.
It looks incredible.
I got a question. Because I've been a Star Wars fan pretty much my whole life since I saw the movie in the 70s.
Yes.
I never got the Boba Fett thing.
I didn't either, except that, I mean, I guess he was just really cool.
I guess, but he's hardly in the movie.
He is.
He's like, he like shows up and he takes Han Solo, but he doesn't really, and he gets eaten by the Sarlacc, and then we know he, you know, survived
crawled out
decades later. But I don't remember him having such a huge moment in Empire Strikes Back and the Return of the Jedi that made me go, this guy is worth every bit of fan love.
I guess maybe it's in the books
maybe
that were
so.
Written around. I don't know. I'm with you. I mean, I've, you know, now that they're doing a little bit more around him, I mean, that whole society of the Mandalorians is, you know, is fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Now, I do remember that his action figure from Kenner had a rocket launcher in the back. Like you pulled this thing down and it would launch a rocket, but then it got recalled. And so those are very, very rare.
Yeah.
If you can get one with a rocket launcher.
I have an original Boba Fett, but not that one.
Yeah. But I remember as a kid growing up, like one of my friends was Boba Fett for Halloween. He had just a, you know, simple plastic outfit with the mask, but he was Boba Fett. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And then as I got older, I was like, what exactly do people find in Boba Fett?
Yeah.
But he is cool. I mean, he's a bounty hunter.
He's cool. But
how
this
awesome
one, this one's really cool. I mean, he, you know, if the backstory of what he's planning on doing is he's the entire movie is going to be filled on Tatooine, mainly Mos Eisley.
Right.
And he's taking over Jabba's role.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, awesome. That is kind of fun. You see Jabba's palace in the trailer and you're like, oh, all right. You know, the little nerdy fandom and you just kind of.
I have a lot of
out.
Problems with Disney taking over Star Wars and what they've done to it, but
yeah.
At least they're putting out content.
But at the same time, I like the TV shows.
I just thought the last three movies were not good. The last three ones that they had were just rushed, not really great. Didn't really think them out as well as they should. Maybe Force Awakens was pretty good, but.
Force Awakens feels good because it's A New Hope.
That's right. Oh, good point. Ah, that's funny. So there you go. There's your Star Wars nerdum for this morning.
And it's good.
That's good.
It's good. Check the trailer out. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is the NCAA is still doing NCAA things.
I saw this. You're talking about the Illinois guy?
Yes.
Kofi Cockburn?
Kofi Cockburn is forced to sit the first three games of the season because he sold memorabilia and donated the proceeds to charity 3 weeks before NIL kicked in.
Yeah, he's going to sit out the first three games of the regular season for this. And everyone's outraged over it because it's not the penalty. He's a preseason All-American. He averages about 18 points a game, about 9.5 rebounds a game. He's phenomenal. And, you know, they don't think their season is over or anything like that.
No, it's just three games.
It's the principle of it, right?
Yeah.
And the NCAA is trying to stand its ground saying it was illegal when you did it, and then 3 weeks later it wasn't illegal at all.
Yeah.
But it was still against our rules 3 weeks. But it was kind of like, didn't the Supreme Court kind of say to the NCAA, this is just the way I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I felt like the NCAA said to the Supreme Court said to the NCAA, what you've been doing has been wrong this entire time.
Right.
Like, you've been implementing these arcane laws that prevent these players from using their name, image, and likeness to benefit themselves, and you need to stop doing it right now. It wasn't like the NCAA went, oh, well, now we'll allow it. It's like they were kind of forced to, and then they were told, yeah, and you can't, and you really shouldn't have been allowed to do that in the first place. So if I was the NCAA, I wouldn't say what Kofi Cockburn did was bad. I would go like, all right. Well, we're not going to do anything about it because we kind of got, you know, slapped down being told we should have never done this to begin with.
It feels kind of hollow to do it now. You know,
it really does.
If you were going to lay judgment, you should have laid judgment before it kicked in. And that way, I mean, I don't even know if they knew about it before it kicked in. I mean, I think they did.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. And I mean, for Illinois, just go, whatever. Just take the three games and just move past it.
Yeah.
No need to fight it or put up with it, but. Yeah, it does. It just feels hollow.
It totally does. I mean, there's no question about it. It feels, you know, it's almost like when you have a case and you win the case, but then the authorities arrest you on something else, right? It's almost like he did something a couple weeks later. It was legal, and then they went, yeah, you know what? We never forgot that. So if whatever power we can, you know. Throw now on this. We're going to throw down on this.
Yeah.
When maybe it was just better if they went, yeah, that's enough.
If they completely ignored it, nobody would have known.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, but the other thing I hate about this too is that people are drawing comparisons. Like he gets three game suspension for donating money to charity for memorabilia, and Mark Few gets one game for DUI.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, but you know what? You can't make those comparisons. They're completely different.
Remember, Jim Tressel lost his job because he covered up players getting rid of memorabilia for tattoos. Never forget that. Gave us Urban Meyer, though. God bless.
That's right. Thanks, NCAA. See what happens when you meddle?
See what happens when you meddle in cover-ups? Oh, God. Yeah, that one just was a head shaker.
Yeah.
All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I think, is a reality show in the making. If not, it needs to be a reality show. Texas, I'm going to I was really careful writing this out, so bear with me, okay?
Okay.
And I'll go slow. Texas Longhorns special teams coach Jeff Banks, stripper girlfriend whose name is Pole Assassin.
Pole Assassin?
Pole Assassin. Her pet monkey possibly bit a young trick-or-treater on Halloween night.
That is the greatest headline in the world.
To make things worse or better, I don't know which way you want to do. Jeff Banks had left his wife and kids of some odd years to start dating Pole Assassin.
So Jeff Banks left his wife, dated Pole Assassin. Pole Assassin has a pet monkey. That monkey may have beat a kid on Halloween.
Yes. And at first it was, you know, Pole Assassin did take to Twitter to say, hey, stop, you know, this is don't believe lies, don't believe lies. And then just kept going on this Twitter thread that eventually led, you know, an 11 or 12 year old, you know, they should stop at the gate.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the kids were busting through the gate of the property.
Well, to get the candy.
Right.
You know,
so
because you
were they supposed
the
to ring the bell?
I don't know.
Were they supposed
know.
To ring the gate bell and she was supposed to let them in?
I guess. Or maybe they were going to meet them at the gate. I don't really know. I don't have all the details to it. But it went from the whole story is fabricated. It's a lie. You know, it's not even his pet monkey. It's mine. To, you know, the 11 or 12 year old needs to be able to stop at the gate before coming through. You know. Just because you're on personal property.
You're on trick-or-treat. You came up to my house. My pet monkey is going to bite you.
They don't know it's Halloween. Pet monkeys don't know. They'll just bite you.
I can see the cops now. Miss Assassin, is that your monkey? Yes, it's my monkey. What would you say is the age of the monkey? I mean, that would be great.
Yeah. But in Jeff Banks' defense, I guess she is really, really good at the pole.
Apparently so.
I mean,
right?
like award. Like I guess there's like an award.
Well,
given and she's,
oh, there's an award given out to
she's,
that?
She's up there having won an award for her pole work.
Okay.
So,
well, she's Pole Assassin.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but does, I just
it every night.
I feel like I need to see this.
What? Yeah, need to see what? The
whole thing.
The
whole family dynamic.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
The fact that he left his wife and kids for a stripper. I mean, that's, I guess, maybe a story as old as time. I don't know. But, you know, just the fact that her name is Pole Assassin, that's who he, you know, chose in life instead of his wife and kids. And I don't know. I mean, I find the whole story just fascinating.
What won him over? Was it Pole Assassin? Was it the pet monkey? Like, what made him pull the trigger on a divorce?
I mean, there's got to be something, right?
Right. Oh, goodness gracious. After a while, though, be careful. Yeah, that's a great headline, by the way. That's a great headline.
Yeah.
I'd love to do the follow-up story on that one. Oh, my goodness.
And my
is anybody
favorite
on
part,
orangebloods.com on that?
I don't know, but my favorite is that, you know, a lot of the stories coming out are coming from Texas A&M sites. So, I mean,
oh,
you know,
of course.
The rivalry is still there.
Oh, yeah.
The rivalry is still there.
Well done. I would expect nothing less. Yes.
Jeff.
Absolutely. Without question. Yeah. Nothing like your rival fan base to get in on all the fun of Pole Assassin's pet monkey.
I mean, just that alone,
that's
right?
That's awesome. That's great. Well done. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Jason Cole's going to join us this hour. We'll talk some NFL as we continue. It's Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll have Jason Cole in about 15 minutes. We'll join him to talk about some NFL. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people that you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hey, guess what comes out tonight? I bet you didn't know. Shouldn't circle it on your calendar.
Uh-oh.
College football playoff committee rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out tonight. Where will they put Cincinnati? That's the big question. Where are they going to put Oklahoma? They going to put Oklahoma 4 behind Alabama? Or are they going to put them ahead of Alabama? I don't think they can put them ahead of Alabama. Alabama had one game which they lost. Other than that, Alabama's been rolling, except for the little tussle down in Gainesville. What about Michigan State? What do you do with Michigan State at 8-0 if you're the committee? Do you say to Michigan State, just keep winning. Don't worry, we got you. Don't worry about not being in the top four. Don't worry, we got you. It's a little bit dangerous. Now, remember, what Jerry Palm tells us, you know, that the College Football Playoff Committee rankings are not a, well, we put you at five, so we got to move. If you win, we got to only move you up if the people ahead of you failed. You could be five today, and you can be three the next poll doing absolutely nothing but just win your game and everybody else wins. It's a weird way to do it because we're not accustomed to that as a college football fan base, but that's how they do it. So if you're Michigan State, you're 8-0, and if you run the table and you win the Big Ten, you are going to the playoff. They are going to squeeze you in some way, somehow. Right? But here's the tricky part is this. If you establish that Cincinnati is 2, and they go on to win all their games by double digits and everything like that, can you really, on the day you announce the Final Four, go, yeah, sorry about that. I know we teased you all season, but yeah, we're not going to really let you into the playoff. Sorry. No, I don't know if they would. But if Alabama beats Georgia, an unbeaten Georgia, for the SEC championship game, then you're going to put two SEC teams in. Now, what if Oklahoma runs the table and wins the Big 12? That would be your four teams. So Michigan State, again, would have to beat Ohio State, but Michigan State would have to leapfrog one of those four teams that I just mentioned in that scenario. And it really could start tonight. Again, I know that they, like I said earlier, they don't just move you up and down like traditional polling. But where they put Cincinnati is going to tell us a lot as to exactly what they think of the Bearcats and what they anticipate down the road. Because one of the things that you have to be very careful of, let's say you don't like Cincinnati more than you like, let's say, Alabama. Right? Because that's the big talking point. Right? Cincinnati at 8-0, and they're number 2 in both the AP and the coaches poll. Alabama's right behind them. Are they really better than Alabama? Well, you know, these polls are rewarding Cincinnati for a very good season. Now, if the committee makes that statement tonight, at what point do they take it away from Cincinnati if Cincinnati does its job? When Alabama beats Georgia? Because that would be pretty cool, being a number one team with that defense. That would vault them. But would that be enough to kick Cincinnati out to an Oklahoma or a Michigan State if they run the table? Now, here's the funny thing about what I just said. We have gone through this so many times in college football where at this point this season we start anticipating that all of these teams are going to go unbeaten. And none of them do. None of them do. We just go, what if there's 5 unbeaten teams? It won't happen. What if everybody has one loss? Nope, trust me. It's coming. You just don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. It's almost like you can't set your watch to it because it doesn't come at a particular time. But there is some point between now and Thanksgiving. There's going to be one Saturday where you're going to go, oh, wow, look at this. That team lost, that team lost, that team lost. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. But again, the big question tonight, we'll probably talk about it tomorrow when the rankings come out. The big question tonight is going to be, where is Cincinnati? Where is Michigan State?
They really don't care about anything else, right?
Not really. Not right now. Because Alabama still has work to do, and Georgia, they don't necessarily have work to do, but because Georgia can go undefeated, lose to Alabama, and get in.
Yep.
Alabama's got a little work to do, and they've got to be a little protective of what Auburn is doing, because Auburn's playing pretty good football right now. So be careful. And Alabama can't lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game if they make it in. So if Alabama's in, they can't lose to Georgia. Otherwise, they're out. And I'm telling you right now, the casual SEC fan that roots for the conference would be pulling for Alabama big time. They love having 2 teams in.
Oh, of course.
Oh, they love having 50% the Southeastern Conference.
Because you can't have, if Georgia's one loss, they have to be in.
If Georgia's one loss is to Alabama in Atlanta, that they're punching. If Georgia goes to Atlanta unbeaten, I mean, it would have to be a blowout for the committee to even second guess.
Yeah.
Georgia. Like it would have to be, woo, that team got smoked. Like, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I think if Georgia gets to Atlanta unbeaten, they've pretty much punched their ticket in. But you can't say the same for Alabama, of course, because if they lose, they'll have two losses, they're out. And I wouldn't say Oklahoma is either, although I have a hard time believing that they would be. That's the problem, right? If an unbeaten Oklahoma comes out of the Big 12 and an unbeaten Michigan State comes out of the Big 10, unbeaten Cincinnati comes out of the AAC, and Alabama beats Georgia, you've got two spots available for all of these unbeaten conference champions.
Okay, but would the committee put in an unbeaten Cincinnati over a two-loss Alabama?
That's a good question.
Because if you say Alabama's second loss of the season was in the SEC title game against Georgia, I have to believe that Alabama gets the nod there. I think Cincinnati is in the top four this week and this
good
week
question.
Only.
Good question. That's a really good scenario because the committee could say a two-loss Alabama team is still better than Cincinnati. We believe that. We believe on a neutral field that they would win. But I don't know if the committee does that kind of thinking. I'm not 100% sure that they say on a neutral field. I think there's a number of things they evaluate.
Or do they give it to Cincinnati and say, they're in the Big 12 next year anyways.
Yeah, whatever.
Or 2 years
from
now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. As long as they beat everybody on the AAC they crush everybody. SMU losing to Houston was a big deal.
Yeah.
They needed SMU to be unbeaten going into their matchup. But see, that's the thing. That's the thing about Alabama, that even if they lose two games to Texas A&M on the road at Kyle Field in a close game, kick a field goal, win it, and to Georgia in the SEC title game, you still haven't really definitively said that they weren't one of the best four teams in college football. And again, if your goal is to do that, I don't know if they would, but I know they'd get votes. I know the conversation would be it wouldn't be automatic, right? Like, they'd have a legitimate discussion about it. Because that's how good Alabama can be at times. Where they just go, we're just giving you the benefit of the doubt. But then there's Oregon with one loss, Notre Dame with one loss. I mean, they're going to have a hard time getting in.
Yeah, I don't think those teams don't count.
How'd you like to be Wake Forest? Seriously, how would you like to be Wake Forest? Wake Forest is unbeaten. They put up a lot of points, right? And in the year they're doing this, the ACC is trash. The ACC is trash. There is no Florida State that's good. There's no Louisville that's decent. There's no Clemson that's good, right? They're garbage. Pittsburgh's pretty good, but they're not. You beat them. You can beat them and not really stress. I mean, they're killing opponents. I mean, they're racking up a ton of points. I think they put over 45 a game. But how'd you like to be them? Like, oh my God, the one year the ACC, everybody's picking on it. We're leading that conference. Yeah. Again, I said this when they announced four teams. I said, you're going to get enough people screaming and hollering to the rafters about getting kicked out of this and not getting enough credit, not getting enough love, that they'll eventually expand this thing. Once you get these university presidents going, my God, my booster won't shut up. We went unbeaten or we lost one game and we didn't get into the playoff. There's no way this is and then they start screaming for it. But I think we're still a good little ways to go, right? I think we've still got a ways to go before that actually occurs. I think they kind of want to walk a fine line with that. It's not as easy as just throwing some games together. They really want to make sure they're doing it. Because once you give the public 8-team playoff, you ain't going back to four.
No.
You are not going back to four. So let's say you do the 8-team playoff and it's a mess. You go, well, we're stuck with this, folks. We jumped on board with this.
You know what? I mean, here's an odd scenario. What if they adopted the NFL and did 7?
Oh, with a bye and everything.
We always
like that?
Go even numbers. We always go 6, 8, 10, 12. But I was like, what if they did 7 and reward the number one overall team and gave them a bye?
That's a good question. That's a good point.
I can see them throwing that out there.
I can too. The team gets a bye. Yeah, I can see that. All right, we're going to talk to Jason Cole on the NFL. A lot of big stories yesterday. We'll even talk about Monday night's game where the Chiefs narrowly escaped the Giants at Arrowhead Stadium. It's all coming up. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so some big news yesterday out of the NFL and, of course, the Monday night game. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jason Cole joins us here on Sports Map Radio. How are you, Jason?
I'm great. What's going on?
Good. Did you learn anything about Kansas City last night in this squeaker win? I mean, they wanted to get rid of things. They didn't get rid of things. What's your takeaway of last night's game?
I'd say it's a continuation of the things that have troubled me about them for more than a season. I mean, I know that they made the Super Bowl last year, and you know, if not for injuries, they might have won that game. I know they got trucked in that game, but if you give them both offensive tackles, it might have been different. But this team has not played really consistent football since week four last year when they played Baltimore, and they hammered Baltimore in that game. And I remember thinking, okay, this team is really sharp focused. And then they've just sort of toyed with teams and either just done just enough to get by, or when they're at their best even, they'll have like a 15-minute or 20-minute stretch of the game where they just go, wow, like that's amazing, right? Like they put up 300 yards in 20 minutes. You think they'll score 35 points. I think the Dolphins game was like that. They were behind to the Dolphins after the first quarter. And then from the beginning of the second quarter to the mid part of the third quarter, they just went on this rampage, took control of the game, basically defeated that, their opponent in that, in that stretch of time. And then they took their, their foot off the pedal and just kind of coasted through the rest of the game. And it's okay to do that, in some of your games. It's not okay to do that all the time because you tend to believe, okay, well, we can just get back to that. Well, teams aren't allowing them to do that, okay? Mm-hmm. The Giants last night said, we're going to take away all the deep stuff. You can take the – we'll give you the third and sixes, the third and twos. Just don't do anything that's going to hurt us, right? And allow you to get into that fast break mentality. And because they're not able to do that, it's not the same team anymore. Now, defensively, they were okay last night, but it's the Giants. I mean, come on.
I thought the last night, I said, if the Giants were like 10 to 15% better, they would have won that game. And I did not think that going in because I wonder how often – look, I know teams take every game as seriously as they can and whatnot, but Kansas City, like, they're going to run out of time. Like we are halfway through the season. They're going to run out of time if they keep playing these close games that sometimes go their way but then sometimes don't go their way.
Well, they're going to have even more problems if they just continue to have – they're sloppy with turnovers.
Yeah.
And that's an even bigger problem. Like they've now gotten to the point where they're playing games in terms of degree of difficulty. Like, how hard can we make this game to win, and then we'll still overcome it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they do it consciously, right? Like, you don't go into a game saying this is what we're going to do, but you're lackadaisical in your approach. And I don't know that. And I think Andrew Reid's one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game. He's probably one of the top 10 coach. Certainly easily top 15. And I think he's had a Hall of Fame career. Certainly up for a strong consideration, right? One of the great innovators in our game. But, like, there's something missing. Like, I go back to the kind of cool little play that they ran with Kelce and shotgun, and he flips it backwards to Mahomes, and Mahomes goes and throws it away. And everybody's like, ooh, look at that. How about just, execute normal plays without throwing interceptions?
Yeah, right.
Right. Like, get back to that and focus on the simple stuff instead of, okay, we're going to put in something fun and entertaining to keep the players excited. They're not good right now at simple stuff. And I'm not saying that they're not good. They're obviously still a great team and a great weapon, but they're not exact. They're not on top of their game. Mahomes is a young and brash player who's got a lot of confidence. And in some respects, I think, while he's, you know, look, I don't have any complaints about him on a personal level. Like, I'm not saying he's not a leader. I just think he's not as focused as he necessarily needs to be. You know, the way that you see when, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Brady or some of these guys play, he's still that young guy who's just got the swagger, like, we'll get it done. You know, we'll flex our muscles like he likes to do on the sideline, and we'll come through. And that's true most of the time. It's not true right now. It's just kind of a dangerous quality for a guy who is the best young player in this game still by far. I mean, he's the best quarterback in this game. If you're picking somebody to lead your franchise for the next 10 years, Pat Mahomes is still the guy. But they're just a little sloppy with what they're doing.
Is there an overriding, though, thought, sort of a larger picture thing, that, you know, maybe the Patriots kind of spoiled a lot of us, or a lot of people who look at NFL now and says, this is the next great thing, and they're going to be dominant for 5 to 6 years, when in reality, outside of the Patriots, it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. You don't go to 5 Super Bowls in 7 years or win 6 titles in 10 years. You know, Aaron Rodgers has 1. Peyton Manning has 2. Like, it's really hard to win this thing.
Great. Well, I mean, I don't know if the Patriots have spoiled us, but I think that we anoint people as the next great thing. Like, here's transitively. Everybody's talking about, oh, look at all these great young running quarterbacks who really changed the game. And, you know, this is amazing. And look what, and I always think back, like, did we forget Michael Vick?
Yeah, right. Good point.
Like, yeah, and I know we forgot Michael Vick for some other reasons and want to, you know, the news about him and all those other things. But, like, he was a great, dominant, moving quarterback, right? Like, and a runner and all these things. It's not like we just suddenly got more athletic quarterbacks. We've always been like that. You know, Randall Cunningham, it's like, and Steve Young and John Elway were all guys who played outside the pocket and ran a lot. Oh, we're just changing the game. No, we're not changing the game. There's probably a few more of those guys, but the game is still the game, and it's really, really hard, and we're looking for these qualities. They just don't happen to last very long because nothing in the NFL generally lasts very long. And it's hard, and it's extremely hard to win, and people do figure out how to stop you or catch up to you. Or in the case of the Chiefs, I think maintaining focus 100% of the time is such an incredibly difficult thing to do when you've reached the mountaintop.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to the Von Miller trade for the Rams. What's your thoughts on the Rams and the way they're going about the building their team compared to the way other teams keep draft picks, draft younger? The Rams go, we don't need these. We want people we know, and this is how we're building our organization.
Well, when you think you're on the edge of winning, this is what you do. I mean, you push all in. I don't blame them. They better win, however, because when you give away an entire draft class, you may be good for 2 or 3 years. Like, they may be able to string this together for 2 or 3 years because of this. The problem is you do pay the price later on. I mean, you see what – if you go back to what Tampa did, right, when they won their title, under John Gruden. And then they gave away a bunch of these draft picks. Eventually, you know, that defense aged out, and then they didn't have the young players to replace it. So it's perfectly okay. Like, if you're a Tampa fan, you're hanging on to that memory going, that was awesome. And you're okay with what happened afterwards, right? But if you don't win it, then you're not going to be okay because you didn't have the party. You didn't get to have the celebration. You didn't get the moment. You didn't go out and get to buy the memorabilia and the jerseys and all those other things that you want to do. So the Rams, you know, like, you do this, you better win because you're going to pay for it, you know, down the line in 3 or 4 years when you don't have a bunch of young players and you're buying guys off the free agent market and you're struggling to be somewhere around 500. Which is what Tampa did for the next, like, 8 years under John Gruden. It was basically a 500 team.
Jason Cole joins us, also author of Elway, A Relentless Life. Von Miller's addition to the Rams, I know he's not the same Von Miller, but how much does he make them better?
Oh, I I mean, I don't think that Vaughn is actually all that far removed from what he was. I mean, yeah, he's not the electric player he was in 2011 to 2015. I'll give you that. Nobody is at that age. But you put him next to Aaron Donald?
Yeah.
I mean, look, so far this year, you watch Miller. I mean, he's getting doubled every single play because they don't have anybody who can finish on the other side, right? Like Bradley Chubb has just been banged up or, you know, not good enough, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, Von Miller hasn't had any help, and he's at the stage of his career where he does have to have some help. He's not that guy in the first 4 years who could, you know, take on any situation. But you can put him next to Aaron Donald? Oh, I think that, where they, if they've got 10, where they're 7-1, so they've got 9 games left. I think he's good for an easy 7 sacks.
Oh, yeah.
In those 9 games. I mean, and 7 sacks is never easy, don't get me wrong, but I think he's good for 7 sacks in that situation. And if he does that, and, you know, you get the turnovers and the hurried plays that go with it, and, you know, I think he changes their defense. He elevates them even more. And they're the odds-on favorite coming in the, out of the NFC. And, yeah, the NFC is tough. It's very tough. But he makes them the overwhelming favorite, I think.
Jason Cole, again, the author of Elway, A Relentless Life. Always good to talk to you, my friend. We'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks a lot, man.
Anytime. Be good. Thanks.
You got it. Again, Jason Cole on a Progressive guest line. Quotes, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. More thoughts on the Miller trade to the Rams as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Jason Cole for joining us. Talking a little NFL. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage to fit your life, Rocket can. Yeah, look, he made a good point about Kansas City, right? Is it simplistic to say that, you know, hey, teams just catch up to you? Yeah, kind of, but it's true. But again, imagine if you had to run a marathon, right, to at the end of the marathon, there was a chance you could win $1 million, right? And you get to the end of the marathon and you're huffing and puffing. You gone through all the uphills and the downhills and you got to the end of the thing and then you were in the running for $1 million and then you didn't win $1 million. And then they go, all right, don't worry about it because in 6 months you can do it again. And you go, oh, I don't want to run that marathon again. Like, I don't mind getting to the end to try to win $1 million, but I don't want to run the marathon again. And I think that's what happens to teams when they get to even like the Chiefs, where they won a Super Bowl, but then they went back to the Super Bowl and then they didn't win. And then it's like, yep, run the marathon again. Go through this time 17 games, week in and week out, prep for the bad teams, prep against the good teams, show up on Sunday, get your treatment after the game. Take your day off, get right back in the film room. And I'm sure they're just like, yeah. When's January? That's what they want, right? That's what happens. You see, the teams go through this a lot in pretty much every sport. When you get to the promised land, you're right there. You got to do that one thing, and then you're champion, and then you don't win, and they go, yeah, and start all over again the next year. And you just, like, it's a term I use a lot. You just want to be where you just left off. That, like, you just want to wake up and be exactly where you were before, right? And that's the problem. So instead of just, like, getting to the end of the marathon and getting a chance to win $1 million, imagine if you got to the end of the marathon and there was a task that was easy for you to do to win $1 million and you did not do it. You'd be like, I just don't want to run it. I just don't want to run it through again. Try to take some shortcuts. Maybe you walk. You get a little lazy. Yeah, because you're losing your focus. And that's what he said. You lose your focus. In the end, you just hope to get there. In the end, you know, if you just keep moving, you'll eventually get there. You may not be in good shape when you get there, but you'll get there. And I think that's what's happening to the Chiefs. Look, there are so many reasons so many reasons why that teams don't have sustained success, right? Free agency gets in the way. Everybody wants to get paid, right? Teams catch up to you. You just maybe you're just not quite the same team. Your adjustments don't work out. But the other reason why is because, especially when you throw in a loss or two, it is hard to run the marathon again. It really is. And you know what? Even as a fan base, it's hard to run the marathon, right? I mean, Duke. Think about being a fan of Duke basketball. Outside of games against North Carolina and a couple of other rivalry games, don't you just want to get to March when you're a Duke fan? Like back in the day when they were good? You're really sweating out a game against Virginia on a Wednesday night in Charlottesville? Like, no. You go, look, just get me to March. Like, remember when we're March, and then Coach K will do his thing, and that team will be in the Final Four again. And we see that with teams over and over again. And I think for the Chiefs, they've been there twice in a row, and now they're being asked, oh, yeah, do it all over again, and have the same intensity as you did when you were the defending champs, and the same intensity as when you didn't win it and came up short to the Patriots in the AFC title game the year before. Just do all of that. I think you do run out of, like, a little bit of focus. And sometimes it's hard to get it back. All right, we'll have hour number three, top five, bottom five, and we'll talk SEC football.